Did you know that we as a church, we grew during the pandemic? And some people have even said this, well, Pastor, how did you do that? What was the technique? I have no idea. All I know is God took out what we thought we needed and gave us stuff we didn't even ask for. And the place of deficit became the place of God's deposit. All this stuff we thought we had to have, God had other ideas. Did you know God has other ideas than you? Imagine that. No matter how strong you are, you still need armor. And you've got to go to war with your weakness. Now, we feel weak and we think we just ought to rest. We've been taught that our weakness is why we can't do something. Well, don't tell that to a single mom. Single mom can't focus on what she doesn't have. She's got to get up every single day and go to war for her babies. God says to somebody, did you think I wasn't going to use you because some human used you up? You're wrong. I factored in your weakness when I called you. That's true of every one of us. You must be contemplating. It's really quiet here. During our crisis is not the time to run from God, but it's the time to run to Him. It's time to, when He seems conspicuously absent, that's the time to retreat to the character of God. In all the crises of life, regardless of the emotions of the circumstances. See, emotion wants to know, where are you, God? Why are you letting this happen? Don't you care about me? That's what emotion wants to do. Have you figured out sometimes God's hard to understand? Sometimes God doesn't explain Himself. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. God has some secrets that He doesn't have to tell you. You can always ask questions of God, but if you know Him, it's foolish to question His motives. There's a difference between asking God questions and questioning His care for you. I've had my questions. God, why this? Why now? Why not? Why haven't you? Why didn't you? I've got those questions. But if He refuses to explain, it's because in His sovereign knowledge, it's best for us not to know it. Because He always is doing what is best for His glory and our good. When life is collapsing, you run to Him, not to any of His competitors, otherwise known as idols. God says, don't look to the stars because I made them. Don't look to other human beings because they're very, very fallible and flawed. God says, I'm a king, but I'm not a Burger King where you get to have it your way. Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, there's only one God, and He's not applying for the job. He decides. I submit. I follow. I don't get to dictate, because I'd mess it all up if I could anyway. And lastly, my weakness is my greatest strength. It says there, the last little part of verse 10, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Not when I come out of this trial, not when it's over, but when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Well, Pastor, I don't understand. If I'm a child of God, why is my marriage so messed up? Why am I so broke? Why is my job doing what it's doing? Why am I sick? Why do I have so much sadness in my life? I have another illustration. Look down at your arm and do this. I know it's really hard for me to find a place on my arm, but look down at your arm and do this. I can always do this. Do this. You see what's happening there? That's flesh. Why are all these things? You got that? Your flesh? You got flesh. Flesh is why that happens. The attacks related to your flesh are no respecter of persons. You have to define everything not by what's going on around you, but what God's doing inside of you. Just because you're going through loss or sickness or divorce or a job or a financial crisis, it doesn't change who I am or whose I am. Isaiah was a priest, wrote one of the books of the Bible, actually. And Isaiah wrote in chapter 6 that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. King Uzziah was his mentor, his benefactor. King Uzziah was his man, and he was King Uzziah's man. But he died. And God gave him this vision of the Lord high and lifted up. And here's what happened in verse 5 of Isaiah 6. I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. This is Isaiah the priest that knew the Bible really, really well, that taught, was favored by the king. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. One of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Did you notice that he went from, I'm going to die, to, here I am, send me. How did that happen? He first had to see that all his power connections to the earthly king, all his abilities were nothing before a holy God. He had to see that he had to have the touch of a holy God upon his life. He had to see that God was a God of mercy and grace before he could go and do the Lord's will. He started out thinking he was going to die, and then he said, you are so good, I got to go tell people, pick me. Until you've come through that transition, you don't have much strength in your life, because you're still trying to rely on your ability to follow God. When I'm weak, when I'm out of gas, where's that strength coming from? Well, when I'm out When I'm at the end of me, that's when the big boss shows up. He'll even send angels. Remember Jesus in the wilderness? He was out there for 40 days, starving in the elements. He had to fight off wild beasts. And at the end of all that, when he was at his weakest, not at a week in or 2 weeks in, when at the end of 40 days, when he was the weakest he could possibly be, then the devil shows up to tempt him. At his very weakest, and of course we know he survived the temptation in the wilderness and he had all the right answers and did all the right things. But notice what happened at the very end. Matthew 4:11 says, "Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." Again, when he was in the garden, right before he was crucified and praying, "God, if it's possible, take this cup from me." And he sweat great drops of blood when that ordeal was nearly finished, when he was spent, if you will, Luke 22:4, "Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." See, he was shot in the garden, but he still had to go all the way to the cross. He still had to get up and go on and finish the job. And the angel came and strengthened him to do it. An angel ministered to Daniel. There are angels all through the Bible. Did you know that? Ministering to people. When I was young in this church, when we were up on Highland Court, I hadn't been there very long, when a demon-possessed woman started coming to our church. And Rob remembers who this was. And it was well hidden at first, but then it became evident there's something really bad wrong here. And so I felt fairly inadequate and didn't know what I was doing, but I was determined to cast this demon out of this woman. And I went to her house one night. Dumb move, went all by myself. But God had grace on a dumb young preacher. And so I went to the house. And you say, "Well, Pastor, how do you know she was demon-possessed?" Well, she screamed at me in somebody else's voice and said, "You're not getting me out of here. I've been here a long time." This is a pretty good indication. Plus, you could feel that demonic presence very strongly. And so after a several-hour battle, that thing came out. And I went home, and I was utterly exhausted. But I also, as I was going home, I felt like these things were following me. It was like bees buzzing around my head, and my theology did not account for that. And so I thought, you know, you speak a word like Jesus did, and the devil goes. You don't have to take 3 hours and get all exhausted, but that's the way it happened. And so I got home, and I tried to go to bed, and I just felt like these demons had followed me home, and they were buzzing around my head, and they wanted me. And I knew better than to let that kind of fear get me. But I was done. I didn't have anything else. I had quoted all my scriptures. I'd bound, I'd cast, I'd done everything I knew to do, and it was still attacking me. So I just said, "God, just send your angels." And he did. All of a sudden, when I prayed that, I felt angels step in the room. And those little bees that had been buzzing around my head, those little demons that had tried to follow me home, they just went, phew. They just split the scene, and I slept like a baby. Perfect peace. Because God will do what he needs to do to strengthen you. Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits set forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" So if you need angels, God's got angels. There's at least one assigned to you, I believe. Children's angels always behold the face of their father, before God, and nothing in Scripture tells me that when you grow up that they go somewhere else. Psalm 27:14. I want to do a little something in closing here. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. I want you to repeat that with me. Say it with me. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's make it personal. Use you in it. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen my heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 29:11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Say that with me. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Make it personal. The Lord will give strength to me. The Lord will bless me with peace. Psalm 84:5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. That word Baca means weakness. They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. That word means, what do you think? Strength. Blessing. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Say, repeat it with me. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Let's make it personal. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As I pass through the valley of Baca, I make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. I go from strength to strength. I appear before God in Zion. Is all that true of you? Yes, it is, if you believe it. What's Philippians 4:13 say? We already said it once. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. How many things does that leave out? How many things does that leave out? None. It includes actually everything. So don't ever say, I'm too poor, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too ugly, I'm too weak to do what God wants me to do. Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. It does not say, let the weak feel they are strong. Let the weak think they are strong. But let the weak say they are strong. Let's say that together. Let the weak say they are strong. I am strong. I messed it up, so we got to do it again. Let the weak say, I am strong. Are you strong? You're strong if you're weak. But you're not strong if you're strong. You're just strong if you're weak. And depending on him. Should I tell this story? Yes. It'll be brief. A pastor by the name of Keith Moore was asked to come see a lady that had cancer. She was on her last leg. She was bedfast. He went in and she was skin and bones. Her face was, you know, whatever that color, jaundiced and sunk in, and she was very weak and could hardly speak. And so he went in and sat on the side of her bed, and he had to lean his ear down to hear her talk. And she said, I'm so weak. I have no appetite. So he's a word guy. And he said, okay, I want you to repeat this after me. Let the weak say, I am strong. And she said, let the weak say, I am strong. He said, do it again. She said, let the weak say, I am strong. He said, do it again. She said, let the weak say, I am strong. Do it again. Let the weak say, I am strong. By the time they got done having her repeat that, they could hear her outside the house. She sat up and sat on the side of the bed. He said, now you need to say, I have an appetite. Yeah. She said, I have an appetite. I have a voracious appetite. That's what he said. He said, say that you have a voracious appetite. She said, I have a voracious appetite. And so they prayed, and he encouraged her to continue to speak the word about her condition. A few months later, he was ministering at another place, and somebody came up to him and said, did you pray for so-and-so, you know, talking about the woman? He said, well, yeah, how's she doing? I've been wondering about her. He said, she's gained about 20 pounds. She's back at work, and she has a voracious appetite. I love that story. Two more scriptures I want to share with you. 2 Corinthians 13:4. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Hebrews 11:34, chapter 11 is talking about all the heroes of faith of the past. And it's talking about them, and it says they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Now, there's a secret here that you can only apprehend between you and God. You know where you're weak. You know where you're trying to depend on you. Only you and God know that. It's not what you project to others. It's not the strength you project. God deliver us from trying to show people we're really strong. God is not into that. I better stop. Worship team, come. Because I got another 30 minutes in me. I want to, first of all, invite you, bow your head for a minute, invite you, if you are not walking with God, either you've never given your life to Christ or at one time you walked with him, but you're really not now, you're walking in your own strength instead of his strength, but you want to change that this morning. You want to admit to the Lord how weak you really are, and you want his strength to come in to your life. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. This morning, I want to give my life to Christ or back to Christ or however you want to word it to him. I just want to pray for you. I want to help you. So raise your hand if you need to give your life to Christ. See, part of your weakness is you're too chicken to raise your hand. Thank you for that hand. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that hand. Is there others? Praise the Lord. Thank you. You can put it back down. Anybody else? I know in my spirit there's at least two other people. I don't know that because I know anything. I know it in my spirit. You need to really give your life to Christ. Not pretend give your life to Christ. Really give your life to Christ this morning. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Yes, I'm trying to make you uncomfortable. Anybody else? All right, for those two that raised your hand, I'm not going to have you come up front. I'm going to have you just stand up where you are, and I want to pray over you. Just stand at your seat. It's okay to be weak here. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for these two lovely ladies. In the name of Jesus, Lord, they've called out on your strength, God. They've recognized their own weakness, as we all need to do. God, and I pray that you will show yourself so strong on their behalf that they're going to be telling somebody tomorrow how mightily you showed up in their life, how mightily you strengthened them in their hour of need, God. I pray, oh God, for them to completely surrender every part to you. And I'd like everyone to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I surrender all my weaknesses to you, all my strength to you. I choose not to trust in my own hand or my own strength, but I trust in the name of the Lord, who is my strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody else stand up with us. We're going to have a final song. If you still need prayer, I'll be over here. I'd be happy to pray with you, or other people will pray with you. Or you can just come to this altar and pray yourself.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore. Restore.
out to you, Lord.
Yes, all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones
when we're spent, when we're done, when we're out of it, you have as much strength as you had throughout eternity. And it's all ours. We choose to plug into you and lay down our puny little efforts that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. This was a good day.
Amen.
Have a great day.